Mind Your Business, brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate, sales, leasing, and consulting.
Economic recovery in the high country. Where are we now and where are we going as 2021 closes down and we launch a new year very, very soon? Hello again, everybody. Welcome into another installment of the Mind Your Business podcast series, a presentation of the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce. I'm David Jackson, President and CEO of the Chamber. Thanks for the download, the continued subscriptions. We have seen our hit counts move up, and that's all thanks to you. So remember, if you haven't subscribed to this podcast yet, subscribe to it. It's in your digital podcast inbox each and every Thursday, or it's available wherever you get your podcasts so you can keep up with all of the trendy news in terms of business here throughout the High Country. We have a fantastic episode of the program this week. Really excited to introduce to you Tom Barkin. He is the president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond. And Tom is in town here over the course of the next day and a half as we record this on Thursday, the 18th of November. He is in town and meeting with businesses, meeting with business leaders, meeting with students at Appalachian State, helping them get kind of some footing underneath them as they get ready to start their careers in monetary issues, fiscal policy, things like that. But what he's really here to do is listen. He's here to listen about trends and terms within the economic recovery, how they're playing out here, and where the High Country's roadmap may take us into 2022, and seeing if those things are coinciding with what are thought to be kind of those broad analysis terms or conditions that federal policymakers are seeing play out throughout the country. We know that different areas of the country have been impacted deeper by the pandemic economic condition, right? So in our unique area of even North Carolina, there have been some sectors of our economy that have been fairly insulated from what I'll call economic heartburn. There are tourism-related businesses, and while they may be understaffed and that may be pinning back their performance just a little bit, maybe operating at 75% rather than 100% of their normal output, but they've still had business. They've still had visitors. They've found a way through all of the policies that we've seen in terms of social distancing to reinvent their business to still operate and operate very well. We see evidence of that in the Q3 Economic Indicators report we put out about 2 weeks ago now here from the Boone Area Chamber that saw occupancy tax numbers up, sales tax numbers up, land purchasing up, housing starts up. I mean, we see that there are elements to our economy here that are thriving. As we come through this recovery, there are a variety of reasons for that. And that's some of what Tom Barkin's going to talk about, as well as some things to watch for as we move into 2022. It's not that we can really kind of draw a line in the sand just yet at the end of 2021 and into 22 and say, hey, we're going to hit the reset button. All this pandemic stuff is over. It's not over yet. In some cases, it's really just starting in terms of some of the impact that we see. And that's not all negative. We have heard here recently a lot of talk about budget allocations, whether that's out of the infrastructure bill that is coming forward from Congress and President Joe Biden. If we're talking about the state budget, which is passed with bipartisan support, Governor Roy Cooper finalizing that bill here late this week. So there are infusions of money to certain areas of our economy, whether that's support of businesses, whether that's support of programs, infusion of money into things like broadband access, early childhood, child care in general. Those things are needle movers within our economy. So the Federal Reserve Bank, some other folks like Dr. Harry Davis, economists around the region, study these trends and try to make sense of where we are, where we're going, and be predictive as much as possible. It's been a hard time to be predictive in these last 2 years because we just see so many ebbs and flows, whether that's supply chain issues, delays in ports. You pick the disruptor, and there have been plenty to pick from. So one of the things that Mr. Barkin will do in today's conversation and some other conversations that I'll be having over the course of the next day and a half or so, let's help kind of detail what those indicators are, what the federal government and the Fed is looking at, and then ultimately what we can expect in terms of performance or opportunities that may exist for us coming on the other side of this pandemic economy. So some really exciting information here. I know that you'll get a lot from this conversation. Real quick, before we jump into that conversation, I do want to remind you that we have got Watauga Leadership Registration continuing. We're about half full on both classes. As a matter of fact, we passed the half full mark on both our Leadership Challenge and Leadership Development courses. These are our traditional community leadership development course offerings under the Watauga Leadership Institute umbrella. So you've got time still to register, but we have a finite number of spots. So if you're interested in attending the class, sign up now, because if you wait until we get into December or after the holidays, we might not have the space left. We'll start the classes January 27th with our annual retreat day, and then go every other week following that through the end of the month of April. More details online at boonchamber.com. Just click on the Watauga Leadership Institute tab, and you can find out plenty more about what's in store for this year's cohort. Also, within that Watauga Leadership umbrella, we have an Insight Series event coming up at the end of this month, November 30th. We'll be pleased to be joined by Cecilia Holden of My Future NC and Byron Hicks, the state director of the SBTDC, as we talk about workforce development. This is another thing that falls right in line with today's conversation. Workforce trends. How are our workers getting educated? How has the needle moved in terms of what is the best education for today's modern worker? Not everybody needs the four-year degree right now. A lot of our benchmarks and our societal thinking all centers around that four-year degree. But there are certificates, there are credentials, there are associate's degrees offered by Caldwell Community College and Technical Institute's Watauga campus right here in town or throughout the state that are just as meaningful and in fact, sometimes unlock job opportunities quicker without students going into as much debt. And that is an evolving trend throughout all of higher education. So Cecilia Holden is going to talk some about that from the lens of My Future NC and how we are trying to make college as affordable as possible, or post-secondary education as affordable as possible to those that are seeking those credentials, be that a certificate or a four-year degree or beyond. But also Byron Hicks is going to talk to us some about the support services from the SBTDC. A lot more entrepreneurial growth, especially in light of the pandemic, as those stimulus checks came, people took that opportunity to bet on themselves a little bit, maybe turn that side hustle into the primary hustle. So Byron is going to tell us about those services that are available to help grow those idea businesses into the next job creators in our community. So some really important conversation coming up at the Insight Series event. That's coming up November 30th. Registration available today at boonchamber.com. All right, let's get into our conversation with the president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond. Tom Barkin joining us this week on Mind Your Business.
Mind Your Business is brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate, providing professional commercial real estate services.
Welcome back to Mind Your Business here this morning on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. Again, our program brought to you each week by our friends at Appalachian Commercial Real Estate. David Jackson with you from the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce. As we talked about before the break, we have got the honor of having a special guest in the community here for the next day and a half or so, who has carved out some time on the front end of that schedule to talk to us here today. Tom Barkin is the president and CEO of the Richmond Bank of the Federal Reserve, and he is in town for, again, the next day and a half, as I mentioned a moment ago, to hear from various businesses and constituencies about things that are not only economically related, but how his organization can better serve the folks here in the high country as well. So, Mr. Barkin, first of all, thank you for joining us here in the community. We've improved the weather for you drastically here at the end of the week. So welcome to Mind Your Business. We're glad to have you.
I'm really excited to be here. And they say that when I come, good weather follows.
Well, we will get you back on a regular basis then. We'll do that. If you could just kind of start us off with the basics, what are you hoping to attain, from an education standpoint about the high country as you visit here in the next day and a half?
Well, I do two things whenever I go to a town. The first is I'm digging into the economy, and you know what the questions are today: unemployment, and are people going to be able to find workers? Prices, inflation. And so I'm talking to a number of businesses in a lot of different sectors, just trying to understand, how they're seeing the economy. The data we get is late, and the opportunity to actually talk to people on the ground, I think, is an incredible opportunity for me. The second thing I try to do is try to understand a community, what makes it tick. And in particular, a place like Boone, which I perceive to have had really great success over the last, several years or so, what's making it win. And as I go to towns across our district, I'm always learning from one and taking that to the other. I'm also going to get an opportunity to go to App State and see some students, which I'm really looking forward to as well. So it'll be a good trip, and I appreciate for everybody for rolling out the red carpet for me.
We appreciate you involving our community in that kind of conversation. And with that said, I know that you'll get a steady diet of this over the course of the next day or so. But some things that are on our minds as a community, I wonder if you might be able to answer for us. You know, as you mentioned a moment ago, unemployment remains to be a high topic around the entire country, the world for that matter. In your tour around your region and from what you've heard at your level, how are employers trying to staff up right now? What do you see there in terms of helping with that lack of available workers?
Well, people are getting creative. You know, I'll just say that. I talked to a steel company that decided it needed to bring full-time recruiters in-house because that was the only way they could even drum up enough interest. I've talked to a lot of people who are raising wages and increasing benefits. I talked to a chicken processor that's dropping its background checks and dropping its lack of a criminal, a drug test and background checks. All over, you see people being creative, trying to find ways to bring people in. The labor market is just that tight.
Do you see wages still being a part of that conversation too? And what have you seen about employers raising those to attract employees? Is that still a trend?
Well, they're definitely up. And, you know, the real challenge we've got is participation in the workforce in this country is down almost 2 points from where it was pre-pandemic. And you can explain some of that by retirements, and maybe the rest is due to fear of COVID or extra money in people's pockets. But the net of it is you've got a bunch of employers who, frankly, are just trading one another's employees. And they're raising wages, but you're not getting more people into the workforce. And I think that's a real puzzle. You know, why wouldn't more wages bring more people into the workforce? That's one of the things I'm always trying to dig into when I'm on the ground.
Well, and certainly we've had evidence of that here with some of our larger employers doing exactly like you're saying, just kind of trading those workers and even our seasonal businesses doing the same, trading back and forth. We've seen plenty of evidence of that here in the High Country. We're visiting with Tom Barkin, President and CEO of the Richmond Federal Reserve Bank here on Mind Your Business this morning in ahead of his visit here to the area the next day or so. Some people are referring to this recovery as divided again, understanding that people with lower education or family responsibilities may be left behind in all of this. Do you see that as being the true legacy of this recovery, or are we still trying to uncover exactly how this plays out long term?
Oh, I think this recovery is a lot different than prior recoveries. You know, first of all, we had huge issues in manufacturing, construction, those kind of industries in the last downturn. They're booming today. You know, you can't get a house, you can't buy furniture. I mean, all of those industries are just rocking and rolling. And then, you know, if you talk about hospitality, the workers in that segment really are the last people in. They're the lowest paid. But as we talked about earlier, wages are skyrocketing there. So again, those people who are in the workforce, they're making a lot more money and they're coming back a lot stronger than we've ever seen, at least in my lifetime, in a recovery. The division here is a little different than normal. There's a whole bunch of kids who didn't really go to school for the last 18 months because they couldn't make remote school work for them. Those kids have gotten left 18 months behind. Community college enrollment is down double digits in this country. And that's the place that trains a lot of, you know, the manufacturing construction workers. So there's a set of people who maybe you're going to work rather than going to school and investing in themselves. So that's another segment that might get left behind. So I think the division's, you know, a little bit different. I should have mentioned, there's a lot of parents who I think have left the workforce for childcare or maybe for elder care. And, you know, who knows how long they'll be out of the workforce. And if they want to come back at the end, who knows how those opportunities will change. And so, again, it's not like other recessions. It's not as clean as to say, you know, high income, lower income. They're just these divisions that really have been hit.
You mentioned specifically there the training of workers with technical skills and the role that the community college system plays in that. How do you foresee that relationship turning back into filling those jobs? Is that going to be more on the community college itself trying to reinvent itself, or do you feel like that demand will ultimately bring students back into the classroom and ultimately into those skilled jobs?
Boy, there's a ton of demand, you know, whether you call welders, carpenters, I would put truck drivers, I'd put nurses into this category. These skilled jobs, you can't just walk into them. You need some sort of training to be able to do them. And the employers are trying to do everything, including wages, but there are real issues of people being interested in those professions. I've been in a lot of small towns. I was in Hickory last year talking to the furniture manufacturers, and they described the layoffs and parents telling their kids, you don't want to go into furniture manufacturing. So it's pretty hard to get people in when they've got a reason perhaps not to go. Same with truck driving. If you think your job's going to be replaced 5 years by a computer, then maybe you don't want to go into truck driving as a career. And so I think there are real recruiting constraints that we're going to have to think about. And then there are training constraints. If you're going to be a nurse, you've got to get a clinical placement where there are only so many hospitals offering so many placements. If you're going to be a truck driver, you've got to get licensed. You've got to get certified. Again, there's only so much capacity in the system. So capacity is another issue. And I'd say a third one is funding. A lot of these state lottery programs, Pell Grants, they don't fund these certificate programs. They only fund degree programs. And so there's got to be something done to get some of that funding more targeted on these certificate programs where we really do need the workers.
Wonderful insight here this morning from Tom Barkin of the Richmond Federal Reserve Bank joining us here on Mind Your Business. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple more specific segments of our economy and our workforce and seeing what their path back to more, we'll call it normal, might be, as well as talk some about how rural economies have fared throughout this process and what may be ahead for areas like ours in the future. You are listening to Mind Your Business this morning, a presentation of the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce here on AM 1450 WATA. And 96.5 FM.
Boone, North Carolina, in the heart of the high country, 3,300 feet above the rest of the competition, home of adventure racing, ski and snowboard competitions, the Grandfather Mountain Marathon, 6-year home of the Southern Conference Wrestling Championships, the Boone Roundball Classic, Sunbelt Championship events, and coming in May, Appalachian FC begins play in the NPSL. Contact the Boone Area Sports Commission and bring your next event to the top of the mountain. For more information, visit boonechamber.com.
Mind Your Business is brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate, providing professional commercial real estate services.
Welcome back to Mind Your Business here this morning on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. David Jackson with the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce, visiting with Tom Barkin this morning, the president and CEO of the Richmond Bank of the Federal Reserve, in town to talk to a variety of businesses and some students over at Appalachian State here over the next day and a half as he makes his way through the high country on his way back into conversations that I'm sure will drive our policies and recovery here for the next several months and years ahead. And Tom, as we talk about specific sectors of our workforce that are trying to get back to that staffed capacity, if you will, we have talked a lot in this community about women's return to the workforce and some of the barriers that exist there. Childcare, of course, being one of those, but not the only one of those. As you tour the region, what are you seeing there in terms of other factors that may be keeping women out of the workforce or returning to the workforce at this point?
Well, the data is pretty interesting. If you go back a year ago, it was very clear that women were out of the workforce at percentages much higher than men at all levels. And of course, you can imagine why. You had COVID messing with school schedules. And, you know, like it or not, on average, more women are primary caregivers than more moms than dads. You had nursing homes, you know, being a real issue, and elder care became a real challenge. You had health issues in the workforce, and there's not enough said about multi-generational families. So you've got one person in your family who's got a comorbidity. You know, others in the family really didn't want to go and take the risk of injuring those people. And a lot of the affected workplaces, think, you know, hospitality, were disproportionately staffed by women. So all of those drove women's participation down. Where we are right now is a little different, which is college-educated women are actually now participating back at the same level, even a little bit, slightly bit better than men. And so college-age women have made it work, but it's working-class women who are still down in the workplace. And again, I think it's simple math, and it's COVID. I mean, schools are open, but if you don't know if kids are going to get sent home in quarantine, then how do you configure yourself to be there? Childcare is a very troubled segment. And so people really have struggled to get affordable childcare. I think this elder care comorbidity thing is still very much a situation. And then I think there are a lot of dual career couples that, you know, the quote people keep using is reassessing their lives. And maybe it's a reassessment, or maybe it's just a practical sense of saying, you know what, maybe we'll take a little bit less money, but this is going to be more controllable, especially in a world where the combination of stimulus payments and suppressed spending during COVID and this child tax credit may actually give them some money to bridge themselves. So that's a real issue. And I think it really does come down to simple math. And we'll see how long it takes for the wages to rise to a level where you get that workforce back in the workplace again.
Yeah, I know that your tour here over the last few days has seen you in Winston-Salem, Bristol, and Boone, three very different communities, but all within the same region. What are the differences you're seeing in terms of some of the issues in a city like Winston-Salem versus a smaller, more rural community like Boone and Watauga County?
Well, I'm all over the small towns in our district. I'm not sure I'd put Winston in that category. But when you go into these small towns, what you see is COVID actually gives you a real opportunity. And the opportunity is around remote work. I talked to so many people 2 years ago who couldn't recruit a dual career couple or couldn't get people to move there or kids to stay there. Well, if you have a broadband deployed community and you can work from anywhere, I think a lot of places get a lot more attractive. The challenge for the small towns is that not every small town is now in competition with every other small town. So you better have a set of amenities that are going to attract people to live there. I think Boone obviously has a great set. And I think the university actually is a whole nother benefits. You better have amenities because you're competing against places with fewer amenities. You better think about it as the region. I noticed you've mentioned the high country, you know, four or five times. It's great that you're doing that. You know, in Bristol, you've got to think about the region as Southwest Virginia. You've got to bring together the benefits of Abington and the benefits of Wise and the benefits of North, you know, all together into something that you can kind of package together, but people struggle to do that regionally. You better have broadband because technology matters. And so there is something about how does one make oneself attractive vis-a-vis all these other small towns? And I really do think places like Boone have a huge advantage in this place. I've been in the last few months in Asheville. That's another place that's got a lot of advantages, you know, in this kind of environment, because if people want to live there, people want to be there. I think that's the kind of place that really can thrive now that we have technologically enabled work.
You know, you may be able to provide some insight on a very real conversation here right now, and that's all around housing. And it's not just necessarily affordable housing, but it's housing stock.
Yes.
It's having the ability to house the people that you're talking about relocating. What has been the challenge of the rural communities that you have been to? Are they all kind of in the same boat that Boone is, where you don't have enough stock to go around necessarily? Or are there some communities that are starting to figure some unique ways even to address that issue? Though I know that that's often a longer term solution rather than just a short term fix.
Well, you're on a big issue that I've been finding this summer. You know, when I was traveling 2 years ago, people would talk about housing, but it was 100% about affordable housing. And it was an issue of there was housing stock there because a lot of these places had depopulated. It just wasn't attractive housing stock. So it's all about how do you get money to rehab unattractive housing stock into, I'll call it barely marginally, it's acceptable housing stock. It's totally different now. I mean, this housing boom, this construction boom, and the supply chain issues have meant that building housing is now incredibly expensive. And of course, if you're building housing, you'd rather sell a house at $700,000 than sell a house at $300,000. You'll just make more money that way. And so you've got constrained capacity. And places like Boone that are seeing this demand for people moving in town are actually now finding that the workplace housing is the issue, even more than the affordable housing. You want to grow, but you can't grow because you don't have the housing stock. It's a huge issue all over. And I don't think the legislators have yet caught up to this issue. There's still a lot of talk about affordable. There's a lot of talk about infrastructure in other places. But this issue of how do we make sure that the people who want to live in our city and work in our city can find places to live and work is a big issue. You know, in the mountains, it's a whole nother issue because you've got permitting issue. And, you know, it's less easy to find buildable sites than it is when you're on the coast. But I think it's a big issue. Everywhere I go, I hear this.
We're wrapping things up with Tom Barkin this morning, President and CEO of the Richmond Federal Reserve Bank here on Mind Your Business. You know, you've talked a lot about economic growth. I've heard, you know, that term thrown around a few times here. As you look at rural America now, as we come through the pandemic, hopefully to the backside of it very soon and move onward from here, what are some of those opportunities that exist for some of these rural areas that have had to battle through challenges over the last few years to take advantage of maybe the resiliency and opportunity that sits in front of them?
Well, I think the story's changed. If you go to the story 10 years ago, it was all about manufacturing shutting down and what are we going to do with these manufacturing jobs? Well, manufacturing in this country hasn't been hotter. And I can tell you the demand for goods, given all the money in people's pockets, is enormous. And our manufacturers can't produce enough. So, you know, if you're a small town that's dependent on manufacturing, this is your opportunity. Broadband was something that everybody talked about 3 years ago and nobody did anything about. Well, we just passed $65 billion in broadband. And at least by our bank's calculations, added to the $30 billion that had been passed earlier, there's now enough money to deploy broadband everywhere. And we've just got to get access to it. I think ability to work wherever you want to live means that places like Boone with amenities can actually attract people. And so I think this is the time, right? The elements are put in place. And now it's a question about getting the story out there. And I really do. One of the reasons I like going to around our district is you find lots of small towns that have kind of got a crisis of confidence. I grew up in Tampa, which I don't think is a small town anymore, but it felt like one when I was there. And when we grew up, we all told each other, why would you ever live anywhere else? The weather's great. You've got a beach, you know, et cetera. And I'm probably the only one of my close friends who left. And one of the keys here is people who grow up in a community need to tell each other, why would you ever want to live anywhere else? You've got everything you need right here in Boone or Bristol or wherever. And I think that confidence breeds confidence and it builds a workforce and attracts manufacturers. It's all the stuff you want and need is built out of, can we tell a story about where our kids should want to live?
Well, this is all excellent information, and we appreciate you for sharing it. And those of you that would like to hear more from Tom Barkin on these topics and have an opportunity to ask some questions and receive answers, there will be a lecture on Appalachian State's campus Friday that is open to the public. That is at 10 a.m. in the Parkway Ballroom. It's excellent information and really helps us map out where things are going to go in our community. Tom, we welcome you to town again. We look forward to interacting with you here over the next day or so, and appreciate your time here this morning on the program.
Thanks, David, for having me on. I look forward to meeting everybody in person.
All right. That's Tom Barkin from the Richmond Federal Reserve Bank. I'm David Jackson from the Boone Area Chamber, and that does it for this installment of Mind Your Business. We're right back with you again, same time, same place next week, here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. Good morning.